Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Power Cosmic Podcast. I'm your host, John Cimino, from Saturday Morning Collectibles. And today we're doing something a little bit different. We're playing a little psychiatric help, because Mitch Halleck is a big Star Wars fan. And I'm not. So we can't do this. We have to do things differently today, on today's episode, because, I don't really care what goes on in the Star Wars world. But Mitch seems to be comatose. He seems to have fallen into a depression. So what we're turning the Power Cosmic Podcast into this week is the psychiatric chair. And I'm going to be Dr. John Cimino. No, I'm going to be Dr. Migo Stretch. And Mitch is going to be sitting down on the couch discussing his depressions, his problems, his suicidal thoughts on why Star Wars, which has been part of his youth, has kept him through all being bullied, eating glue, all the bad stuff in his life. It kept him from falling into those holes of life. They made him rise above. But now, all of a sudden, Mitchy, older, wiser, heavier, he finds himself in the depression again. So we're going to talk to Mitchy. Hello, Mitch, and he's paid me very well for this. And we're going to try to see if we can get out those demons and bring Mitchy to a better place from the new movie that came out, Star Wars, I don't even know what is it called, Phantom Menace, which is...
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, okay. That's Mitchy, everybody. Mitchy, are you comfortable?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay, we can't get into this if you're not comfortable. I want you to feel, close your eyes, just answer the questions. I don't want to put you under any stress of anything, but let's just go back for a second to the little Mitchy. Mitch, tell me what Star Wars has meant to you when you were growing up. Tell me. Be as open as you can be.
Well, Star Wars for me started in 1977. After I saw Coming Attraction at the movies. The movie was called Silent Movie. It was a Mel Brooks picture. My mom took me and my cousin Gwennon, and this thing came on the screen with stars on it, and it showed a big hairy monkey looking thing and a golden man robot, and everybody in the audience was laughing at it. They didn't know what it was. People were like, what the hell is that? And all I did was see one of the greatest things I ever saw in my life on screen. And I said, Mom, can we go see that when it opens up? And she said, sure, we can. Now eat your popcorn, little Mitchy. So I ate my popcorn and I counted the days down until I would see this movie. And weirdly enough, before the movie opened, I got a comic book by Roy Thomas and Howard Chaykin from Marvel Comics. It was issue 3 and it was called Star Wars. And I opened it up, I go, this looks like that thing I saw on the screen, but the artwork is horrendous. But I still wanted to go. So Mom picked me up after school at St. Brendan's in New Haven. She drove me to the theater, and there we sat and watched it. She bought me a little program that came out with the movie. It was $1.50, and I got to look at the actors that were in the movie, and my mom told me the only person she had ever heard of was Alec Guinness, because he was in Dr. Zhivago. He was an old British actor. And she knew who Debbie Reynolds and Eddie Fisher were, so she knew Carrie Fisher was their daughter, because she knew that stuff. But other than that, it was a mystery. And the movie started, and I saw the giant spaceship come across the screen, and my head exploded, and I could not stop watching that movie. And I looked over at my mom, and she was sound asleep, snoring. And I said, Ma, wake up. And she goes, no, little Mitchy, this movie, I don't know what's going on. I'm going back to sleep. So when the movie ended, I sat there and stared at it. My mom took me out and she said, "That was the stupidest movie I ever saw in my life. Don't you agree, Mitchie?" And I looked at her and said, "Ma, can we go see it again?" And she goes, "What?" I go, "I really, really liked it. I want to go see it again." She goes, "Oh, then you're going to have to take your father or somebody else because I'm not going to go sit through that again." So there began the love affair of Star Wars, because I went home and I took out my pen and pencils and I started drawing all the things I saw on that screen. X-Wing fighters, Death Stars, lightsabers, TIE fighters, Wookiees, robots. I couldn't stop. I started reading magazines, Starlog magazine, issue 7, all about the Star Wars movies. I went out and got the rest of the comic books. I started listening to orchestra music because I got the soundtrack album. I could not stop it, John. And that 2 hours of cinematic escapism changed me forever. It made me the person I am today. So Star Wars to me is not just a movie. It's a way of life, John. It's a religion.
So you would say it made an incredible impression on Little Mitchie, right?
Absolutely. Little Mitchie was just immersed. You got to understand, Little Mitchie was in a world of Catholic school. It was a rough neighborhood. The only thing that got me through was my comic books. But, you know, the only thing we had with comic books on TV was really bad Spider-Man TV shows and really bad Hulk shows. There was no special effects. Space 1999 was terrible. Star Trek was gone.
It was bad. I think it was Space 1999.
Whatever. It was bad. I hated that show.
1939. Oh, okay. Sorry, Mitchie. All right. I got to be professional here. So it made such an impression, and it kind of guided you through life. So no matter what happened, so let's go back. The first three movies, you were at a young, more of an impressionable age, and you loved it. Now we go to the next three movies that happened in the 90s. Is that correct? Was it in the
90s? That would be May 19th, 1999, when the premiere of The Phantom Menace, Episode 1, opened. Yes.
Okay, Mitchie, hold on. Okay, so those are when those three come in. Now, let's think back to when Mitchie... So Mitchie's how old at this time, Mitchie?
What, 1999?
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 32, going
okay,
on 30.
Okay, so you're in your 30s. So
32,
you're
yeah.
In your 30. Okay, so how did those movies, make an impression on you?
When the lights came up from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, I went to the Midnight Show with my copywriter, David McMahon, and I sat there stunned and didn't know how to feel. I don't know what I just watched. It wasn't the movie that I expected. It had the familiar words were in it, and some of the scenery looks familiar. They said the word Jedi Knight. They had lightsabers. They had the planet Tatooine, the desert planet. But it just didn't seem right. There was odd creatures in it and goofy stuff, and I don't know. And I was torn, and I actually saw that movie about 10, 12 times that summer, trying to brainwash myself into thinking that, no, this was Star Wars. It was okay. But something just wasn't right, John. Something was not right.
Okay. So then the next one that comes out, I mean, the next two after that.
I continued down that path, John, hoping things would get better. I wanted it to be like it was when I was a child, John. I bought all the toys. I was following all the news on the internet, reading all the magazine articles, trying to figure out what was going to happen, getting very excited for the film. But it just never came together like it did back in those days. It made a valiant attempt, John, but it just wasn't the same, man.
Okay, I get it. Okay, so now let's fast forward another almost 20 years.
No, we have. It's only been a couple, John. The last movie came out in 2005. The Force Awakens came out 2 years ago. It was 10 years.
No. Okay. All right, hold on. That's what we're going to get to. But so between that, when that, who's that pansy kid becomes Darth Vader? Well, I don't want to.
Anakin,
right?
Skywalker, John.
Yeah.
Skywalker.
Okay, when was that movie? Was that Attack of the Clones?
Anakin Skywalker appeared as a young boy played by Jake Lloyd in 1999's The Phantom Menace. He was then replaced by Hayden Christensen in 2002 for The Attack of the Clones. And then the final appearance was The Revenge of the Sith in 2005.
Okay, so 2005. Now we fast forward Okay, so almost 12 years. I'm sorry. Okay, 12 years. Now, right? No, 12 years. No, no, no. A little bit back, 2 years ago, because 2 years comes A New Hope, right? Is that correct?
No, John, that would be The Force Awakens, the new movie.
Oh, okay.
By J.J. Abrams.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, Mitch. I'm trying
this
to be
is very troubling to me. I don't know why you can just jest and make light of my predicaments.
Your plight. All
my
right,
plight
hold on.
Of woe.
So in 2015, young Mitchie had a bad experience with those middle three, but
yeah.
Now here comes the one that comes, is episode 5.
Yeah, because Han Solo was going to be back in it. And Carrie Fisher was going to be back in it, and so was Mark Hamill. My original heroes were coming back.
They're coming back, yeah.
Yes.
So, Mitch, hold on. We don't want to jump here. So, how did that movie affect Mitchie? Because now Mitchie's almost in his 50s, right? You're on the cusp of the midlife crisis.
49 years old, yeah.
Okay. So, tell me about your experience with that movie.
Oh, John. I don't want to think about that one, John. Because
so
what
were you
happened?
Happy, were you happy that it was coming? And you
I was
like,
so happy they were all going to be back, John. There they were, Han, Luke, and Leia. The thought of them all being back on the big screen one more time, and this was going to be a new series of movies, and my heroes as a child I haven't seen since 1983 were going to be back. It was no prequels, John. This was the real deal. This was the real Heroes of the Galaxy that stopped the evil empire. They were going to be back in a whole new movie, John.
Okay, then Mitch, what happened after you finished watching that one?
Well, John, about 1 hour and 42 minutes into the film, something unforgettable happened, John. That is when on screen, Kylo Ren, a.k.a. Ben Solo, the son of Han Solo and Princess Leia, ignited his lightsaber and put it through his father, Han Solo, and killed him. And he threw his carcass off the side of a bridge and fell to his death. And Chewbacca screamed. They killed Han Solo. They killed him. It's not funny. Stop laughing. It's not funny. They killed Han Solo!
Oh, my gosh! Okay. I never cracked them! Okay. So that hurt
what
you.
What kind of doctor now, are you?
But wait, hold on.
It's not funny.
But no, it isn't funny. I don't know what happened right there. Okay, so that comes out, but it seemed to breathe a new life into Star Wars. Though that hurt you with Han Solo and stuff, it seemed like the story, it was kind of like... I did see it by doing other things and glancing back at it, but it seemed a lot like the first movie. Like, you know, it was almost like an homage to the first.
It was almost a remake of the greatest hits.
I felt that was necessary to get people back on the Star Wars train. So Mitch actually survived that. Yes, you were hurt, but you like Star Wars again, and it did make you feel that they used a lot of the same effects, all that stuff.
Yeah,
the sound.
Yeah.
Okay, let's fast forward 2 years to this past weekend.
Yeah.
Hold on, Mitch. Let me set the stage here so you can give your true feeling.
All right.
Mitch with great optimism goes to this movie on Thursday, and he was gonna celebrate. You know, it was like maybe you get into the Star Wars celebration. You know, because it's almost who you are. But then, you know, I didn't know. I didn't hear from you that night because usually Mitch will send me a text and stuff saying he got home safe and like, you know, I saw Star Wars. Everybody, you know, all that. But I didn't hear from Mitch, and then it seemed like. Mitch was, and then I wake up in the morning and I, you know, turn on the computer and I see all these friggin', like, it seemed like every, maybe hour or so, there was Mitch saying something about Star Wars. And Mitch, this one scared me a little bit because it looked like the Mitch got a little unhinged. I think the word is unhinged. I think something happened to Mitch and it was like a lot of posts that, like, it's almost like you couldn't stop. And you started causing a ruckus online, like even, it's funny, you were like, some dictator, like some crazed dictator, like causing chaos. But then all the minions underneath you just started warring amongst themselves too. I don't know what the hell happened. But Mitch could not. But first, Mitch, I have to understand something. Do you even remember putting up a bunch of?
No, I don't. It's all a blur. I actually woke up today and don't even remember this past weekend.
Okay, but like you, even Howard Chaykin chimed in on something to try to make
that
some
bad.
Peace.
I know.
Like, because I mean, we know Howard Chaykin is. He's kind of like
Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News. The man who started the online movie thing even chimed in on me today.
Such chaos. I think, but I don't know why though. But this time it's a little different from all the other times. It's like you got like Mitch. Please explain to me. The new Star Wars, what is it called? The New Hope?
The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi.
The Last freaking Jedi. Okay, you sit down on Thursday, correct? It was Thursday night?
I had just come back from Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, one of the greatest nights of my life. I drove for over two hours to catch a midnight showing of the Phantom, the Last Jedi, and then I got home at 3:40 in the morning. And then I had to be up at the radio station at 6 o'clock dressed as Darth Vader to be on the holiday show.
Okay, so you were under a lot of stress.
I only had 1 hour sleep. I was almost like being tortured, yes.
Yeah, okay, so, okay, you were under a lot of stress. So, but you felt in your, I know what Mitchie thinks, so in your mind, you went to the theater, going to sit down, you were going to watch this movie, and it was going to rejuvenate you. At least, no matter how tired, how stressed the day was, it was going to bring you back. But, like I said, it was, something happened to Mitchie after that. Like, something, like, broke. I need to understand. Now, Mitchie, go over the movie, say what you have to say about it, and tell me why it affected you.
Okay. Here's how I remember it. The lights went out. The Star Wars logo came on. The little thing came up and said it was Episode 8, and that the Princess Leia was on the run from the new bad guys, and they had to find Luke Skywalker, and he was the only hope. So Rey, the girl that we saw in the last movie who wants to be a Jedi, she presented Luke with his lightsaber, the real lightsaber, the one that his father built, that Obi-Wan had given him, that he lost at a duel in Cloud City years ago when he lost his hand. We don't know how they got it. They didn't tell us that. But anyway, she gave him his lightsaber back. It was one of the greatest moments in film history. And he threw it over his shoulder, and he could care less. And right then, I knew something was wrong, John. Right then and there, I got a cold chill.
Right there.
My innards turned to ice, John. And then, moments later, Luke Skywalker was milking a giant, like, I don't know what, like an alligator cow thing. And he was drinking the milk from its teat, and I don't know what happened. It was all a blur. And then he was eating some fish, and then Yoda showed up. And he looked like a puppet or, well, I don't know what it was, John. And Luke didn't want to be a Jedi anymore because he was bitter and he was old and he didn't want to save anybody and he said it was all a joke. And that's what it got to me, John. How could it be all a joke? I spent 40 years of my life devoted to this guy. He was my hero, John. He saved the galaxy. How could it all be for
that
nothing?
I've been reading online. That kind of rubbed a lot of people wrong. I think even Mark Hamill wrong. Didn't he say something about it?
Yes, he was like, this isn't the hero of the galaxy. This isn't the guy who grew up and saved the universe. This is a bitter old man. And that's what they turned him into everybody else. They turned him into the world. That's not who Luke was. He was the new hope. This was the old dope that I saw on the screen, some miserable old man who didn't want to help anybody. He just wanted to be left alone and suck on his cow titties.
But was there any redemption with him and, like, keep going through the movie?
So what happens is the bad guys are chasing after what's left of the good guys, and it's really, really bad acting and some stupid chase at a casino, and nobody cares. Nobody cares.
A casino? Was that the Mohegan Sun casino?
I thought it was. They went to the planet Mohegan Sun, home of Terrificon, happening every August in Connecticut. Go to it. Buy now. Tickets are on sale, and you'll be happy to get them. So anyway, there was the big finale. They were doomed. They were up against a wall, literally. And the bad guys were coming with the giant walkers, and they were going to wipe out Princess Leia and all her troops once and for all. But then out of nowhere, Luke Skywalker returned. Our hero was back. I got chills down my spine. I was like, oh, this is what's going to save the galaxy. Luke is back. And then it was really a false hope, John, because Luke did help them buy some time, and they escaped. But then Luke died, John. He died.
Like, how did he die?
He used all his force energy to create this image of him to stop the bad guys, that somehow it drained him of his life energy, and he faded away, John. He was staring up at the sun, watching the sunset, and his cloak fell to the ground, empty, and he died, and he's gone.
Now, I didn't see the ending. I told Mitchie yesterday, I got into about, I think it was 59 minutes of the movie, and I couldn't take it anymore. But, so, I thought he was going to have a heroic return, but did it kind of fall flat, as you were saying, Mitch?
It was bittersweet, John.
Okay, and so Princess Leia, who Carrie Fisher is actually gone, she actually passed on a few years ago.
She died last year.
Was it last year? Last year it was, okay. She's still alive?
Yeah, they left her character alive at the end of the movie, even though she's not coming back for the next one because she's dead in real life. She ain't coming back.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm so conflicted right now. That means in the next movie, there'll be no one left except the droids and Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon from the original movie. There's no point for me to go see this movie because there's nothing left.
That makes sense because you can keep them forever young. They're not going to age. You just throw another, like, because there's a new actor, because the original actor of Chewbacca is gone. And
no,
now
he's still
new...
around, but he's just old and wheelchair bound.
No, is he still, well, you know better than me, Mitch.
He's 73 years old, John, yes.
Okay. And the guy who voices C-3PO is still around,
he's
too.
Still in the costume, yes, Anthony Daniels.
And what about the midget who friggin' played R2-D2 is dead.
Kenny Baker died last year just before Carrie Fisher.
Yeah,
yes.
I do remember that. Okay, so Mitch, what happened though? Like, I need to understand that rant that you went on a tangent and it's still in there. Like, you...
I could go right now. I could go. I have. They've banned me from Facebook for a while. Yeah.
But Mitch, me and you behind closed doors, we always complain about. I mean, there's a lot of sourpusses. It's a tough. The social media market is tough because you got to deal with a lot of negativity. But Mitch, I saw you ride that wave of the dark side. You were part of that, and you couldn't stop.
I didn't know what happened, John. The floodgates opened. I didn't want to. I actually came out and said it was a good movie. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
And yeah, that was bullshit. I mean,
I know, because that's why, John, everybody was telling me it was good. I saw the rate. I saw the reviews. They were like 4 or 5 stars. The best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back. This is real Star Wars. And all these reviews, and everybody was telling me it was good. So I said, well, I can't be the bad guy, because look what happened to me with Wonder Woman when I said I didn't like it. I got death threats. So I actually said, okay, I'm going to go along with everybody. And I wrote my review, and I said it on the radio. It was a great movie. Go see it. But then I added a caveat. I said, for everybody in the world, this is going to be a great movie, a good 2.5 hour fun ride. Take the kids, they'll have a good time. But then I added a section that said, but for me, a lifelong devotee of Star Wars, this is not the film for me. And I outlined the reasons why, because they corrupted my hero. They crapped all over my stories. They said, you know, you're a fool for believing all this junk and none of it matters. And this is the new way of the universe, old man. Your ways are gone. So why don't you go home and go put on your old VCR tapes and watch your old Star Wars with Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher from the 80s and 70s, because this ain't the way it is anyway. This is not your father's Star Wars.
When you were talking to me on the phone, after this, and that's what I said to you, and that's basically what I'm going to say to everybody else. This is your prescription. You're never going to get what you wanted back in those early days, and now, you know, it's a different world out there, and the world has passed little Mitchie by, and I think you're just going to get more disappointed and disappointed. Because I don't, like you, I don't know what they're going to do with the third one. I don't know how. But I obviously, I think what they should have done, this is just this is Dr. John M.D. here talking, that I think they should have at least had Luke carry on to the third one so they all appear, you know, all the main characters appear in all three of them, but he can die off or do whatever he needs to do in the third one. So then it starts the new generation. And then wherever that goes, it can go to bloody hell for what I care. But I digress. But that's what I thought. But obviously they're going to have to start that off quicker. I don't know. Do you think, Mitch, they did that because Carrie Fisher died and there was more plans to come?
From what I had heard, that originally she was going to be the focus for the third and final chapter of this new trilogy, and that's the way they did it. Harrison Ford was the first one, Mark Hamill was the second one, and Carrie Fisher was going to be the star of the third one. But
do you
that's
think
not
that they would actually use effects to make her alive?
No, like they said they would not use any digital effects. That would be, they're not going to do that. They came out and said they will not do that.
So maybe her dying actually made the new generation thing come into full effect maybe sooner than they wanted to, so maybe they had to change things around.
It seemed like this movie could honestly be the end of these series, because it's fine, just let it the way it is. It really is.
Yeah, but we all know there's going to be another one, Mitch. So
because
no,
it just made $220 million this weekend, the second biggest box office opening in history. Yeah, Disney's going to, it's all about the money, John.
Yeah, I know. That, and unfortunately, Mitch, That's what it is. That's why I said my prescription to you is watch the first three without the renewed when Lucas redone them with all, you know, with he threw Anakin in there at the end there. You know, you don't want that one. Just the first one, and that'll make little Mitchie feel good. But do you? I want people to know this, Mitchie. Mitchie's an addict. I want people to understand that it doesn't matter how Mitchie feels right now. When the next one comes out in 2 years, Mitchie's going to be there at midnight to go see the opening thing.
God
right,
willing, Mitchie? Yes. 2 years, John. 2 years.
He's already bought his tickets, no matter how much he
is. I have.
But, okay, so Mitchie, let's be honest. You gave it 4.5 stars. It broke you, though. It broke you. So was that an honest 4.5 stars?
No.
This is an exclusive on the Power Cosmic Podcast, Psychiatric Pod. What do you really give it, Mitch?
2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
Only because of Luke and Chewie and the droids. That's the only reason I'm giving it anything.
Okay, let's turn this around for a second. What was your favorite part?
When Luke Skywalker was talking to R2-D2 again, it was like the old days.
Oh, yeah, but he sees R2 and he goes, R2, yeah. Okay, what was Mitchie's worst part?
There's so many, John.
No, but if you, Mitch, the one that probably broke you, and it broke the internet.
It would have to be when Luke Skywalker said the word laser sword.
Yeah.
Laser sword was the term that your mom or somebody that didn't know anything about Star Wars would say. They would go, oh yeah, that's that movie with the laser swords. And you would cringe because you knew the true weapon of a Jedi Knight was called a lightsaber. It wasn't called a laser sword. Laser swords were those cheap knockoff toys that your grandma would buy at Christmas time because she couldn't afford or get the real lightsaber that was put out by Kenner Toys. And she bought the cheap plastic one they had at Kresge's for $1.99. that glowed in the dark. That's what I got one Christmas, John. I wanted a lightsaber, but they didn't get it for me. They got me a laser sword. It was spelled with a Z, too. Lazer. It wasn't even spelled right, John.
I'll tell you this, Mitch. When I saw that post, you know what I actually thought of? I thought of Sun Sword. I thought of the...
It was a He-Man prototype thing, John. I remember the laser sword, John. It hurt. I wanted the blow up Kenner one that was the real thing.
Where did you get it? Was that at like a Benny's? Was it at like a Benny's or Service Monkey?
It was back in the day. Yeah, it was.
It had like mulch there too. But you go.
Yes, it was like an Agway, John. It was a bad store.
You know, you can get mulch and fertilizer and all that shit.
They had everything: jumper cables, pantyhose, and that came in those little eggs that looked like legs. Everything.
Oh my god! Yeah.
I used to like those. John, you got to remember, I was a Catholic schoolboy. That was the closest thing we came to nudity was pantyhose ads.
Oh, yeah. You always, I get you. Okay, so, Mitch, how do you feel now, though, right now? How does the Mitch feel?
I feel like I've been abused, John. I woke up this morning. Like I said, the last 48 hours have been a blur. 72 hours now. I don't remember much of what happened. It was like I was drunk. I don't remember posting a lot of the things I did. I don't remember engaging in a lot of the fights online I did. I did do it. I feel like the Winter Soldier, John. I didn't know what I was doing, but I did them anyway. I feel like Bucky Barnes, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
I killed Howard Stark. I killed Maria Stark. I didn't mean to.
So, Mitch, I got to ask you this.
Yes,
so you have a habit of, like, self-torture. So are you going to...
I ate a lot of pizza this weekend, John.
What?
I ate a lot of pizza, John. You know that's my drug.
No. But what I mean is, Mitch, that's common. I expected this. That's never going away. What I wanted to know is, like, the reason why I say self-torture, how many more times are you going to go see Star Wars?
I'm going to go see it today at 12 o'clock, John.
Oh, my God.
Maybe after that's repeated...
One thing to say before we wrap this thing up. Are we all done with the posts? Are we all done?
I don't think I could go back to that, John. I'm going to focus back on Terrificon. I'm going to get healthy again. Got a CT GamerCon. I'm going to post some fun things about comic books and toys again. I'll be back. But this one really hurt me, John.
I know, Mitch. I know. It's pretty amazing that Howard Chaykin was the voice of reason in some of that stuff, and he's usually off the chain.
I think Mr. Chaykin saw that chubby little 10-year-old boy in tears on the side of the road holding his broken lightsaber and felt pity on me.
Well, to make you feel good here, I asked Roy, because I always like when Roy gives his review, and I always post his reviews on the Roy Thomas appreciation boards, that I wanted him to say, I'm like, Roy, can you throw out a Star Wars review when you see it? He's like, I haven't even seen Rogue One. He goes, much less this Star Wars. He goes, don't wait up for that one. He's not the biggest Star Wars guy either. So, I mean, we won't see the Roy Thomas review anytime soon.
But, so, John, are you trying to tell me it's over?
It's been over since 1982.
83, John.
83. Sorry. As people know, like I'm not a whiz. That's why we have Mitch to fill in.
But John, toys, all those hours of reading novels and comic books and talking about it, all those years. What was it for, John? What?
You know what's funny? This came to my head. I'm thinking of Frank Cass for some reason. He looks like somebody that was in the cantina.
You know, he's a huge Planet of the Apes fan. Now I know how he feels when they make those new movies.
Okay. All right. And before we close up, and I'm going to have Mitch do his little final thought here. I just want to say a little advertisement. Pick up Alter Ego 150. It's out this Wednesday. And go to page 10. Nice picture of me and Roy Thomas in there. And we got some good stuff. It's the Stan Lee special. And the reason why I'm throwing that out, A, because I'm in there. But B, I'm in there because it's also a Stan Lee special there. And that's a great thing. So pick up Alter Ego 95. And I know people are not going to pick it up because of me. Pick it up because of Roy. But me too. Okay, Mitch, here we're going to end it off, Mitch. Final words, Mitch. Any final words?
Yes, John. I look at this movie and I see what the rest of the world sees. They see fun and adventure. They see excitement. They see 2.5 hours of a roller coaster ride with a brilliant special effects and things. But for me, John, I look upon it as a reflection upon myself and what I've done with my life, and parts of me have become that bitter Luke Skywalker that's portrayed in this new film. The young, idealistic young Mitchie is long gone now, and now it's just a bitter old man with gray hair, and that's it. And then I can't come back, and if I do, I'll die. I think that's what it is. If I can't go put the Happy Days t-shirt on with the Fonz. I can't go put on my red corduroys. I can't get my bowl cut haircut again. I can't sit there and drink my Slurpees and read my X-Men Giant Size number one, the 1970s?
Five.
I can't go and watch The Incredible Hulk on Friday night with Bill Bixby, followed by The Dukes of Hazzard at 9 o'clock, and maybe stay up and watch Dallas because Mary Crosby is hot looking, and I really like Victoria Principal's body. Can't do that anymore, John. Those days are gone, John. They've gone now for 40 years, John. Four decades. Almost two generations. I have to accept that fact that young Mitchie's not going to be running down the street anymore with a Slurpee in his hand. Just like Luke's not going to run into battle with a laser sword with a Z. I guess that's what life's all about, John.
Making the change. That's what you have to do, Mitch. And in ending, make sure we got a special treat coming up, Mitch. Maybe let's end this episode a little lightly.
John, did I tell you I watch The Force Awakens every time it's on TV just to see Harrison Ford get killed, and then I turn it off and cry?
Yeah, I know, Mitch. I know.
Thank God there's another Indiana Jones 5 coming out. Can't wait for that.
My God. Okay, Mitch.
Yes, John.
Let's end it off a little light. We have a little upcoming present. The Power Cosmic is going to get back on track with a little upcoming present coming up. The Power Cosmic Record presents, right?
Yes, John. Next week, the fans will delight in hearing the melodious tones of you and I portraying the Human Torch and Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, and a recreation of Strange Tales Annual 2, which came out in 1963, as Spider-Man and the Torch are on the trail of the Fox. Hear it in all its glory next week.
Yeah, and then after that, we'll be back on track. Mitchie will be hosting. He'll be out of remission. We'll be back on track. We'll be ready to go again, and the Power Cosmic Podcast will come back in 2018. So, Mitch, how do we got to end it?
By going to see The Last Jedi again? No, John. May the Force be with you, John. Always.
And that's that.
And that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.